You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
Technobite is brought to you by Logbox, a free app that Aki approves of that lets you fill in your medical details once and share them with any healthcare professional you choose. Logbox, your medical life simplified. Hello, Aki.
Hello, Eusebius. How are you doing?
I'm very good, my friend.
That's nice. Yes, I'm good. I had a pleasant weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, it was very, very chilled. A bit too short, but, you know, it's, yeah, you know what's nice about this country? That there's always something going on. Despite our complexities, there's a beautiful energy in this city, especially Joburg. Yeah. You don't see this kind of energy anywhere else.
Absolutely. And I think our ability to laugh at ourselves. Can you imagine if we didn't have a sense of humor as a country?
No.
Jeepers would be the most depressed.
And you know what I started doing this weekend? Maybe this is a nice one to talk about, just as general, if you're looking for something fun, is when you start getting into a series marathon. Have you ever got into one of those? When you start watching an episode.
Oh, binge watching.
Yes. So I started watching The Crown.
I don't know The Crown.
The Crown is on Netflix. It's about Queen Elizabeth's reign.
Okay.
From just before she became queen. And it's so brilliantly done. I got a recommendation from Mandy Wiener, in fact. And then you realize, you know, Sunday evening, you've spent 7 hours, you know, seven episodes watching this. But it's absolutely brilliant, you know. And, yeah, you get so many interesting recommendations. And you start talking to colleagues about this, and they say, oh, no, you don't need to watch that. You need to watch that. So, okay. The last time I got engrossed into such a series marathon was with the Mafia one on, what is it called? The Sopranos.
Mm.
Sopranos.
Anyway. Okay, so there's a recommendation from Aki. Those of you who love binge watching, be careful, though. You can become addicted.
I know. That's the danger. That's
the book
danger.
That I keep telling you I must bring to this. Please remind me tomorrow.
What's the name of it?
Irresistible. I told you about it, man. It's the one about technology addiction.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
And now along the way, they discuss our binge watching and some of the psychology behind how it's made. It's carefully designed to lure you into watching for 7 hours.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's fascinating. I look forward to it.
But we've got some interesting content.
Yes. Now, take that phone that I've given you.
Thank you.
Put it in your hands.
Never say that.
And hold it and tell me the first thing that comes to your mind while you hold that. Because it's interesting, the initial reaction.
I don't know.
How does it feel in your hand? Does it feel...
Look, it's quite light. It's,
yeah.
The design is interesting.
So Eusebius
what is
holding,
the right answer?
Well, no, the Eusebius is holding the Galaxy S8, the new S8, which has been launched. It was launched in South Africa about a week and a half ago. And, you know, it's interesting to gauge the difference in reactions. Now,
so
you know,
much cooler than the S7 that I have.
It is cooler. You know, the thing that I notice is you really get the sense of that premium feeling when you hold the device in your hands.
Mm.
And I remember when I was at the launch in New York a few weeks ago and I, you know, first held it. It's like holding something brand new. It's unlike any other phone that you've seen, although you can say a phone's a phone. But Samsung have been very clever with this device because they've basically managed to push that screen around those edges. You know, that curved edge side, you know, the screen gets pushed right to the end. Well, it's just it's a technology. And interestingly enough, you think that you're going to crack that phone easier if you drop it than a square boxed phone. And the stats that they've got from Samsung saying actually there's less screen damage from these. I don't know if it's the science of it falling and how it falls, but they call it the infinity display. So you really get the impression, and I did, that I was holding something kind of futuristic in your hands. It's, you know, slightly narrower than your average phone that you would hold in your hands, but the S8 is Samsung's flagship device, and it really is a magnificent phone. It's very security focused. They've got an iris display, so you register your eyes and you can do fingerprints and you can do face recognition to unlock it. I read a lot of complaints online saying that the iris recognition was a bit, you know, iffy and it didn't work really well. And, you know, it's not designed to work with glasses, interestingly enough. So you and I wear glasses. So I tried registering with my glasses and it seemed to have registered perfectly okay and it read them and I didn't have any issues with it. It does use Bixby, which is their version of Siri and it's Samsung's personal assistant. I think Bixby's still got a lot of growing up to do. You know, I found it not as accurate as you know, the other devices like Siri, for example. But, you know, where Samsung's going with it and the amount of money that Samsung pumps into research and development, their vision for this device is to kind of connect with all of your Internet of Things devices in your home. So that's how Bixby is really going to work going into the future, as do most personal assistants. The camera, which is, you know,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, you just took a photograph now. The camera is impressive.
I don't know. And there's a colleague of yours here who looks very unhappy. Rude. If you zoom in, it just shows the face. Huh?
Is it Mochal? Yeah, I knew it. I knew it.
How Mahal, unhappy is that guy?
Please smile for the camera. It's the Eusebius McKaiser show. You should be happy to be here. Anyway, maybe it's me and my voice. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the camera.
I'll send it to HR.
Yeah, the camera is amazing. It really takes amazing video and amazing images. And there are two sizes. There's the S8 and the S8 Plus, which has got a, you know, a bigger battery life and a slightly bigger one. There's no doubt that this device that you're holding in your hand is contender for phone of the year. It's really a beautiful device, but be warned, it comes with a premium price tag. So if you want a great device, you're going to pay a premium dollar for it. And then, you know, there's
how
the mid-range.
Rent,
look, this is
cash.
I mean, you know, for anything from 16,000 to 22,000, you know, for the bigger memory one. So, you know, you can shop online. But there are a lot of networks that have got good deals. So if you take it on a contract, you know, there's some really, really good deals that I've seen. I was looking at through some this morning. I mean, Telkom had some really good deals. I mean, they all got Telkom, MTN, Cell C, Vodacom. They've all got good deals. But you just need to shop around. And depending on how you're going to use the phone, how much data you need is what's going to determine what your monthly price is going to be on the phone. But, wow. It's a beautiful device. Now, this is big news coming out from Microsoft because they announced last week that they're planning their first data centers on the continent early next year. They plan to deliver Microsoft Cloud, Microsoft Azure, which is their, you know, cloud in, you know, interface in the cloud, Office 365, Dynamics 365. They're going to put up data centers in Johannesburg and Cape Town from 2018. Now, I'll tell you why this is such a big deal, because up to now, when you log into your accounts and you go globally and you do stuff on your Microsoft account, it doesn't sit, the servers don't sit in South Africa. Amazon don't have servers in South Africa. Google don't have, you know, servers. They might replicate stuff in South Africa, but, you know, there are very few companies that have got massive servers in South Africa. And this is really a big deal because it's a huge investment to put servers like this in South Africa. So we're waiting to see. In fact, I was at a conference at the My Broadband conference a few weeks ago. And the guy from Amazon was there, and I said to him, when is Amazon going to sign up and be, you know, one of the, put their servers on the continent as well? And he said, well, you know, we haven't decided yet. It's something that's very secret, but, you know, watch this space, he said. So who knows? Amazon might be next because Amazon are the big guys in the room. You know, they are kind of commanded. And why it's so important is that it just makes connectivity, it makes the speed of computing, it makes the use of the cloud services a lot more effective so that you don't have to rely on your traffic coming in from abroad. You've got it happening locally. The ping times are shorter. So it just, from a business point of view, it's a big move for the continent of Africa. So well done, Microsoft, for putting in your money onto the continent. And then finally, Eusebius, you use Uber quite a bit. And, you know, Uber is going through a very interesting phase globally. You've heard the controversies around them. But, you know, the reality is 6 years ago, they were starting up to, you know, 6 years later, they have 2 billion trips that they've registered on their network. And they've got other stuff like Uber Eats and, you know, Uber for Business and other, you know, different products related to Uber. But this one I find quite interesting. They just launched Uber Freight. Mm. So if you are sitting over here and you want to get a big package down to Cape Town, for example, you do the same as you would on Uber. And you use Uber Freight, for example, and you can transport large containers. But it's more aimed at the massive stuff, not the small packages. I think it's aimed for the guys who ship or you guys do import and export. You've got a big container that's arrived in Durban at Durban Harbor. You want to get it up to Joburg. You use Uber Freight and not available in South Africa yet. But, you know, this is something that I think is going to be a big business tool for Uber.
I wonder where the expansion will stop.
Look, the extension,
I mean, it seems like, you know, the universe is not big enough for
they're
them.
They're not making money. you know, Uber's losing a lot of money, so it's not a profitable company. But what they're investing, they're using the money that they've got from investors to invest in artificial intelligence, self-driving cars. They're involved with projects with Volvo, for example. So when that stuff comes into fruition, and that's going to be in the next 5 years, you'll kind of get a journey. I read a fascinating statistic that said that by the year 2025, 2030, all the current motor manufacturers that you have in the world, you know, only 10 or so will exist. So we're not going to have so many different brands, and you're already seeing a lot of brands starting to suffer. So it's going to be who controls, who has the technology, who has that artificial intelligence. And in a few weeks' time, I'm going to one of the Audi conferences that they've got on where Audi is going with, you know, the future with artificial intelligence, self-driving cars, where they see the future. And, you know, you've got these forward companies like Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Toyota. Then there are companies you've never heard of that you might not have heard of 10 years ago, the likes of Uber, the likes of Apple, and the likes of Google, that are technology companies. So, and of course, Tesla, which is like leading that revolution in the US. Absolutely. So interesting space to watch.
Fascinating. Thank you, Aki.
Bye-bye, you
16 CBS. 16 minutes after 11.